an eye for miracles. Ordinary miracles. Just what are we talking about this morning at this Unitarian Universalist congregation? A miracle, according to the Oxford American Dictionary, is a surprising and welcome event that is not explicable by nature or by scientific laws, and is therefore considered to be the work of a divine agency, such as the miracle of rising from a tomb. Or it can be defined as a highly improbable or extraordinary event, development, or accomplishment that brings very welcome consequences. It was a miracle that a neighbor's tree that fell during the last windstorm didn't hit anything, and now they have lots of firewood. A third definition is an amazing product or achievement or an outstanding example of something. A machine that was a miracle of a design. The etymology, that is, the origin of the word miracle, comes from Latin miraculum, an object of wonder.
Some folks focus on those first kind, the stories from the Hebrew Bible about miracles and that Moses performed through Yahweh's command, a staff turning into a snake, or parting the Red Sea so that the Israelites could escape from Pharaoh's army. Some of these stories are being told during this week of Passover. This important Jewish holiday commemorates the Exodus, the liberation of the Jewish people from slavery in Egypt. Moses tells Pharaoh that God will send plagues to convince Pharaoh to let his people go. Pharaoh says no. So Yahweh, or God, sends one plague, and then another. 10 plagues in all, including frogs, locusts, hail, boils. And before life is so miserable for Pharaoh that he finally agrees to let the Israelites go. Once they have escaped into the wilderness, God provides manna every day for them to eat. Then there are other miracles of Jesus of Nazareth, feeding mass quantities of people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, walking on water, healing the sick, turning water into wine, that whole virgin birth thing. For you younger folks, you might learn about that more in OWL, our whole lives, human sexuality curriculum. That curriculum is written for different ages and stages, and lots of our folks are taking those classes this year to learn why that's a miracle. And then,
That's not why they're taking it.
One of the things covered, certainly. And then there's this thing called resurrection as a miracle. This part of the story is being shared all over the world today as Christians celebrate Easter. And as many others who are connected and draw heritage and inspiration from are celebrating Easter, the miraculous resurrection. Jesus coming back to life and appearing to his disciples after he had died on the cross, having been crucified by the Roman Empire.
Some folks say that that is all just myth and would rather focus on the second kind of miracles. A large tree fell and no one was hurt kind of miracle. The miracle of certain kinds of treatments that halt the growth of disease. The miracles of families being able to be together on special holidays. The miracles of being able to travel. Some are more comfortable with the third kind of miracle mentioned, an amazing product or outstanding achievement, like the latest hybrid cars technology, or a handheld device that is a phone, a camera, a navigator, and a computer. The miracle of the search process that some congregations are going through right now, and that this congregation went through 2 years ago, discerning the match between our co-ministry and the congregation needs. The miracle of Edward Durrell Stone's feat of architecture for this dome, or the brilliance of yellow in daffodils or forsythia. Today, we want to focus on all of those kinds of miracles, as well as those that are beyond and between. Whether you believe in the Big Bang theory or a divine spark that got it all going, or if you aren't sure how it all started, all of this, it is amazing. It is worthy of our awe and wonder. Miraculum. It is a miracle. It is amazing that we are all here in this room at this moment in the space-time continuum of possibilities. In our opening reading, poet Diego Valeri seemed to be having a dialogue of sort. At first, he addresses someone. You, who have an eye for miracles, regard the bud now appearing on the bare branch of the fragile young tree. What would it be like if we really regarded, if we really noticed and witnessed the wonder in our lives? Then the poet says, it is a mere dot, a nothing. And I wonder, is he playing a pessimist? I wonder about the nothing, the no thing.
We were once invited to attend a bar mitzvah for a young Jewish Unitarian Universalist. Isaiah, the 13-year-old bar mitzvah, did a midrash, or a close study, or some might call verbal wrestling match, with the Hebrew scriptures in Exodus, when Moses wants to see the face of God, but is denied. Isaiah couldn't find an adequate answer to why Moses cannot see the face of God, and decides that the most important thing is to do what God asks, have compassion, forgive others, express patience, and so forth. Isaiah's rabbi acknowledged Isaiah's good work and further explored this idea using the Kabbalist notion of Ein Sof, or nothing. Not as in not a zip zilch nothing, but as in the absence of thingness, that which is beyond definitions and boundaries, and therefore is also that which is boundless and contains everything. Now, Valeri may have not studied the Jewish mystical tradition of Kabbalah, but it is an interesting thing to consider the Ein Sof, the no thing that is boundless and present in the bud. We hear this as Valeri ends the poem with profound wisdom. But already it is a flower, already a fruit, already its own death and resurrection.
Martin Buber, who was a Jewish philosopher and a contemporary of Valeri, although we don't know that they ever met or had a conversation, is best known for his exploration of human existence as an encounter, that is, through relationships. He named two different kinds of relationships between people. There is the I-it relationship, the utilitarian mode of treating others as objects, as a means to an end, and the I-thou relationships, where people really meet one another in authentic connection, authentic existence. We can't pursue the I-thou relationship, Buber says. We simply must be open to it. It is beyond qualification. The rabbi at the bar mitzvah spoke about Ein Sof, the no thing, as losing our ego to become one with the whole, where there is no distinction, no separation. He said that Martin Buber felt it was impossible to see the face of God and survive, just as the Hebrew scripture says. However, we can get a ray or a glimmer of it in the way we relate to others. When we have those I-thou moments, when time and difference seem to melt away, and there is just beingness and relatedness, then we get a glimpse of what the holy might look like. In the summer of 2007, Wendy and I were in our chaplaincy training at the County Hospital in Oakland, California. It was difficult, profound, and a powerful experience. One day I had several visits with people who were experiencing a lot of pain, a lot of loss, and my heart was very sad. I went up to the neonatal intensive care unit, as I knew there were several babies there who benefited from being held, and rocking a baby was about all I could manage that day. When the lead nurse saw me, she brought me to a tiny baby boy who was struggling through withdrawal, as his mother had used harmful drugs while she was pregnant. She was receiving care, and so was he. But his little body couldn't settle, couldn't relax. His little mammal human body needed to be held and snuggled and rocked. And so on that day, when my heart felt so sad, that little one and I were together. As we rocked, both of us crying, his fierce cries quieted. His shaking subsided. My tears slowed, and I could feel the preciousness of life, the value of small acts of kindness and compassion, and the sweetness of trust. I don't know how long we rocked. It felt miraculous, being held by a love that was with us in our sadness, in our struggles, and in our connection.
Look around at how lucky we are to be alive right now. Look at where we are. Look at where you started. The fact that you're alive is a miracle. Lin-Manuel Miranda's musical. Eliza Schuyler tries to convince her husband, Alexander Hamilton, that he's enough by reminding him that it's a miracle that he's alive, given all that has happened to him. Given the scientific odds, it is a miracle that any of us are alive. On this day of Easter, in the midst of Passover, as the spring continues to unfold, what is budding in you? What parts of you need an exodus? From what do you need to be liberated? Are there any parts of you that need to metaphorically die so that a resurrection of your spirit can rise like a phoenix from the ashes, like Dumbledore's bird named Fox in the Harry Potter series, whose tears have healing powers? I wonder, whose tears do not have healing powers? One year ago, this congregation shared in a ritual of installation, a covenant of shared ministry between us all. We planted the seeds, the beginning of our time together. Now, a year later, looking at the bud that is this congregation, what will we help bear? What will we help flower? What fruit will eventually come? What behaviors and mindsets and practices in this congregation need to metaphorically die so that something new and beautiful can arise? You already have practice at all of this, the holding on and the letting go. the planting and the harvesting, the endings and beginning again in love. It is nothing short of miraculous that we have found our ways to one another. Today, this week, we invite you to focus on the cultivation of making miracles, of witnessing miracles, of being grateful for the tiny and huge miracles that permeate our everyday lives, that help us remember that each moment is sacred. And if the word miracle doesn't work for you, even with all of the various definitions, choose another word. Look for the beauty. Look for the joy. Harvest the love that is here. As we develop an eye for miracles, that is the ability to see and sense and feel the wonder of the world, the beauty all around us and within, it takes some practice. And it is important to consider the reality present in Valéry's poem that some folks really experience the dot as a mere nothing. Perhaps in those moments we have not yet discovered how to see the potential of all that is within it. Or perhaps we are experiencing hurt or have experienced harm that we don't yet have the ability to have that sense. Or maybe we have felt that life has only shown us or another the dot or the tightness in the bud, not the beauty of potential within it. So as baseball season is upon us, it seems fitting to acknowledge the need for practice, especially given the Red Sox lost last weekend. And that's no time like the present to practice. So just for fun, let's go through the alphabet. And after each letter, you call out things, we'll call out things that begin with that letter that you think are miraculous, are amazing, an incredible achievement, an overcoming of the odds, a marvel to behold. Are you ready? A. B. C. D. E.
Wait a minute, there was agreement there. That's a miracle.
Sorry. F. G. H. Did someone just say Hufflepuff? I. J. K. L. M. N. O. P. Q. Q. R. S. Sanity. T. Trust. U. Unitarian Universalism. V. W. X. The xiphoid process. Y.
You.
and Z. So there is no reason you can't find something to be amazed and awed by in the coming days and weeks ahead. Thank you for practicing. There is so much to distract us from what is beauty, from what is love. It is good to practice together, to raise the energy and the joy, and to remember the miracles all around and within us. Yes, and yes, and yes.
Unitarian Universalists don't tend to read Bible stories literally, but rather in our responsible search for truth and meaning, we read to see the stories and lessons and what they have to teach us in our current context. The stories of the resurrection of Jesus have something to teach us, whether we believe it literally happened or not. Reverend Dr. Victoria Weinstein, a UU minister in Massachusetts, wrote a poem called Being the Resurrection that helps reveal why this is relevant today. The stone has got to be rolled back from the tomb again and again every year. Roll up your sleeves. He is not coming back, you know. He is not coming back unless it is we who rise for him, we who lay healing hands on the reviled and rejected like he did on his behalf, we who rage for righteousness in his insistent voice, we who love the sinner, even knowing that the sinner is no further than our own heartbeat. He will not be back to join us at the table, to share God's extravagant banquet, God's love feast. All are invited. Come as you are. And so it is you and I who must feast for him, must say the grace and break the bread and pass it to the left and dish up the broiled fish or pour the wine and pass it to the right and treat each one so tenderly as though just this morning she or he or they made the personal effort to make it back here from heaven or from hell, but certainly from death to be by our side. Because if by some miracle, and why not a miracle, he did come back, wouldn't he want to see us like this? Wouldn't it be a miracle to live for just one day, so that if he did, by some amazing feat, come riding into town, he would take a look around and say, "This is what I meant." And we could say, "It took us a long time to figure it out, but we finally did it. Oh, let us live to make it so. You are the resurrection and the life."
So let us cultivate an eye for miracles, the miracle of birth, the miracle of loving, for loving certainly is a miracle, as is being loved. The miracle of reconciliation and forgiveness, the miracle of growing old together, the miracle of building beloved community, the miracle of becoming. May we each develop the capacity to be in relationship and then be find the courage to be open to an I-thou encounter with all we meet. Jesus, the person, lives on when we remember the lessons he taught to be merciful, to be humble, to love your God, to be kind, to speak truth to power, to hang out with the marginalized so that no one is left alone. When we remember who we truly are and that we are all connected, our human spirit may experience life made new again. May you see, hear, smell, taste, touch, and know the miracles all around us. Shalom.
Amen.
And blessed be.